When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello and welcome to the SC Playbook Question and Answer Podcast for NRL Supercoach Round 8, the Anzac Round Edition. Tim Williams on deck for the potty this week. Coming at you live following the Cronulla Dawn Service, an absolute ripping morning and a really, really good tribute to the Diggers that they put on every single year there down overlooking South Cronulla Beach. Couldn't recommend it any higher for anyone that lives in the area in future years. So, guys, hope everyone out there has had a nice morning, got out to their dawnies and set for a big day of remembrance and for rugby league, of course. Now, we'll keep this a bit shorter and sharper today, getting it out nice and early before people get into their plans for their day and their two-up and shenanigans. So we'll get stuck into it. Of course, update my trade plans for the week, skippers, all that good stuff, a bit of word around Nathan Cleary, a few thoughts around Nathan Cleary, I should say, in particular. And, yeah, see how we go and get stuck into it. All right, first question from Jay says, "Hey, Timmy, no, you haven't asked for questions yet. He got in very nice and early. Getting in nice and early before the dawn service tomorrow. Just one question. What's a bit bigger matter to attend to? Getting Levi or Jesse Arthurs out. Both going to lose cash. Was using my third boost this week for Walsh and Cleary. Could get Dalen Watene Selesniak too, or a hooker better than Levi." Get Levi out. Just because, I mean, he scores so poorly. He's break even 61. His last 2 weeks have been, played 76 minutes against the Broncos and scored 30 points. 18 points in 58 minutes the week before. So, yeah, look, he could easily punch out 20-20 without, if he doesn't jag any attacking stats against the Sharkies on Sunday night. We've been very fortunate due to four tries that we made $113,000 out of Levi, but I think he's got to go. Arthurs is a funny one. He's such a good footballer. He has he's got a decent work rate. Like, his base is 23, but you look in the last 3 weeks, his base 37, 24, and 26. He's got the higher break even than Levi, and he's higher priced. But firstly, I don't love the move to centre for him with Cobbo out, but that should only be 1 week. I just think the Broncos are looking so good. They've got Reynolds back now. They've got Payne Haas back, Pierre Kura back. Cobbo Mann will be back likely next week. Tigers match up this week. I can see why you'd sell him. He's not gone that good, but he's such a good footballer in a gun side. So, yeah, look, I don't think Arthurs is actually an urgent sell. I have a bit of bias towards him because I just rate him so much in actual NRL, but I think there's some good scores around the corner. As I said, though, I don't love him at centre against the Tigers, but, you know, he'll slot in that left-centre spot where Cobbo's had a heap of success this year. Mam out probably doesn't help. I assume Cogo shifts to the left, Reynolds back on the right. Anyway, long story short, I would get rid of Danny Levi. Question from Miss Jane. If you had Apikorosau and Harry Grant at hooker, who would you downgrade? Or do I let it ride? Let it ride, I reckon. I see somewhat of appeal of like a Jaden Brayley, who I'm very keen on this week. But you've got, potentially the two best hookers in Supercoach. I know Appy has regressed the last three or so weeks, particularly last week, but look, that was against the Penrith Panthers. No one scores well against the Penny Panthers. Had try assist the 2 weeks prior. He's still playing 80, still kicking goals. And Harry Grant, he's bottoming out in price. I actually looked at buying him this week. I don't think I'm going to do it, but I think he's a good little pickup. He's averaging 60, and he has had next to no attacking stats this season. It's quite remarkable. So, yeah, hang tight with those two, I reckon. Another one around the hookers, this one from Peachy. Peach. Are we sleeping on Jeremy Marshall, King at hooker? Has unreal buy coverage and he's averaging 64 points, reasonably priced, and the Finns, SOS. Sean O'Sullivan is pretty solid over the next. Sean O'Sullivan, strength of schedule, is pretty solid over the next couple of weeks. Cheers, mate. Have a bloody ripper weekend. Likewise, Peach. Not sleeping on him, and I think the reason for that being is that most starting hookers that people have, they're all pretty relatively similar output. Whether it's Reece Robson, Appy Coruscant, Harry Grant, Jeremy Marshall King, they're all ticking along nicely, and no one's really putting their hand up and saying, pick me, pick me. You did mention the buyer schedule. The Dolphins play around 13, 16, and 19, so he does look like a good pickup, certainly prior to the buyer period. Round 14, he misses. Round 18, he misses. Easy to cover around 18. Round 14 could be a little bit tricky, particularly anyone running like potentially Harry Grant, Marshall King. If Harry Grant doesn't back up from Origin in round 14, could be shorter hooker, but yeah, I can't knock him, and I wouldn't be trading any guns to him at the moment, but if you're looking for a Levi upgrade or Joey Lussick probably next week, Marshall King, yeah, he's going well. Question from Brett, somewhat similar around hookers, but he says, ask, think of holding Ponga this week and trading out Lussick and Brooks and bringing in Plath and Marshall King. What are your thoughts? I don't love it. I just spoke about the upside of Marshall King, and I don't think that's a bad buy, but he's got a break even of 73. So he's not probably going to make money. If he does, it's probably going to be quite small. He could definitely lose money if he doesn't hit that 73 break even. And I look at Lussick, who I'd give him one more week just because his break even's 13. So if he comes out and busts out 40, 50, 60, 70, like there's money to be made there. And it's not a big moving position hooker, so I don't think there's a rush to do it. So, look, I think there's a better trade than that this week, but I think that's probably a better trade for next week. The other thing is with Lussick, the issue is with hands on the bench, limited minutes this week, so I certainly wouldn't look to play him, but he scored 51 and 72 the last 2 weeks. Hands came in a couple of weeks ago and played a bit of time off the bench, then was gone the week later. So if Lussick goes back to playing 80 minutes next week, you know, he's probably an indefinite hold in the sense that you can sort out more pressing issues with your team. In terms of Maxi Plath, yeah, I like the Plath buy. I don't love it. 32K, neg 6, dual 205.8. 94 last week. He scored 2 tries, neither with line breaks, I don't believe. I'm just concerned with Tommy Flegler due back, potentially even next week. A lot of middle forwards on the bench. Does he go back to 50-odd minutes and just becomes a – he's a good footballer, but, you know, a 50-averaging player and earning very little money and wasting a trade in and a trade out? Maybe not. Like, he's a good footballer, but he's also very early on in his career. So, look, not for me, but the talent's there that if he keeps a big-minute role at 13 – you know, people could be desperate to get him in a few weeks' time, but, I'm not over keen. Question from Daz. Is it worth using my fourth boost to go Schiller/Strange to Dallin or Tenny Lesniak? If I don't, I'll have to play one of Strange or Galvin as my last reserve. Oh, Dallin, I am so excited for Dallin or Tenny Lesniak today against the Titans. I think that the Warriors thump them. I think that right edge could have a field day on Khan Pereira and Brian Kelly. Dallin, I think, is a very good pickup. The only thing that worries me a little bit is just the big Anzac ceremony promised over in New Zealand at what was formerly known as Mount Smart Stadium, but whatever it's called now, Go Media. Do the Titans lift and get G'd up for that and put on a stronger showing? Look, I say no. I think that the Warriors can be way too classy, way too strong through the middle, and I think they smash them. I think Dallin goes 100+. There you go. Is it worth a fourth boost to do it? Maybe. Fence sitting a little bit here. Obviously, it's a significant upgrade this week, but you sit there and go, but first, if I was going to do it, it'd be Schiller, because I think Strange, I want to see how he goes with Fogarty out, because he plays the Raiders play round 13 and round 16, those first two major bye rounds, 13 and 16, he could be a hole through till that point as an extra major bye round number if he scores well without Fogarty. Not saying he definitely will be, but he might be. Schiller can go. So I'd love the Schiller to Dalen trade. Fourth boost for it. If you've saved any trades this year, let's say you've saved two across the rounds, yeah, I'd probably pull the trigger and play very aggressively. If you haven't saved any, I'd hold off on that one, mate, so I don't think you really need to. And look, the reality is, sure, I'm confident on the Warriors, but if the Titans come out and get up for it and it's a low scorer, Dalen doesn't score, he could score 40. He's a winger. One from Delhi. G'day, legend. What's your plan for Tap 4 Anzac Day? Mate, I'm heading into the eastern suburbs of Sydney to a mate's place for a few bevos, and we'll go out for a little double of two up, watch the footy, and one of the great days of the year. And Aussies remember the Diggers quite well today, so probably the biggest day, one of the biggest days on the calendar for sure. I've got Strange and Galvanus 5-8. I think Strange is a sell next week anyway. Do I just pull the trigger on Dill Bags being Dylan Brown? I've got the cash. There's no other 5-8 I like, and Dill's at his lowest, you'd think. Shit position 5-8, isn't it, at the moment? Like, Dill, he's got a three-round average of 67, averaging 60 for the season. You know, only one score under 50, so he's been rock solid, basing 31, which is really good for a 5-8. You're right, he's probably not going to get much cheaper. Eye test-wise, he hasn't looked great since Mitchie Moses has been out. I'm an owner. Like, he had a late try, which shot his, he would have been early 30s without that against the Dolphins in Darwin. Granted, that game, Parra were just shot ducks about 20 minutes into the game. They were gone. The Heat looked like it got to them. The week before, was it against the Cowboys? No, the week before against the Raiders, it might have been. He had a late, late try assist that rescued his score again. I don't think I'd do it this week. I'd be tempted to give it one more week. Whether or not something emerges at 5-8, I'm not sure. I do agree. Like I mentioned, that Strange is ideally a watch for another week, potentially because around 13 and 16, but realistically, he's probably going to be a sell at a good profit. I'd try and give another week, but if you want to shore up your 5-8 spot and go to Dylan Brown this week, yeah, he is cheap. There's not much else on offer. So you know what? They got the buy in round 9. Hold fire and get him in round 10 or 11 or something like that. Even then, they go Broncos Storm. It's not an overly strong case for Dylan Brown. Question from Samuel. Looking to get a premium centre wing in for Ponga this week. At this stage, thinking paying up for Lomax. What are your thoughts on him as a season keeper? Would you prefer any other options for a premium CTW to bring in, already have Val and Garrick? As it stands, he's a season keeper, but it's easy to get caught up in the hype, isn't it? Like, it's Lomax, 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 everywhere you look at the moment. He can't have done much more since moving to the wing. He's scoring a lot of tries. The Dragons are going well, so he's kicking goals. He's, you know, pulling out remarkable try assists, and he's averaging 84 points. He's 800K, like, he goes Roosters today, Anzac Day, Sharks, Rabbitohs into a bye. Look, he's probably a season keeper, and people will be sitting there listening going, of course he's, look what he's doing. And look, the Dragons are playing great footy, but it's early on in the season. Like, if an injury or two start to strike, the wheels start to fall off the Dragons and they regress to what we've seen, you know, the last 4 or 5 years, then all of a sudden he's playing wing, potentially even centre, if there's any injuries at centre, for, you know, a bottom four team, which is what most people are expecting. So I think he's probably a keeper, but I just think it's far from locked in that he will be, with so many great attacking players in stronger teams in the competition. So he's also on the Origin radar now as well. So look, I think he can buy, and if Origin pops up, so be it. But like, even if that happens, he misses round 11 with the buy. He then missed round 13, 16, 19, the buy in round 20. 800K, I'm happy not to pay up for him at that price for now. Question from Muhammad Ali. Marzio looks like he'll be at a really good price next week. Would you consider bringing him in if he's sub 600K, or do you think it's best to avoid him given Ponga's gone? Huge watch on Marzio. I wouldn't be jumping the gun early. I just want to see, like, the Knights had been poor with Caelan Ponga, the Dalian medal winner and the star of their team. I also want him on the left wing, although now that Ponga's out, who does his best work on the left, that probably loses a bit of relevance, I do think. You know, playing outside Gagai all of a sudden, who is a really good ball-playing centre, becomes a bit more appealing. Still prefer on the left, don't get me wrong, but not the end of the world. Four scores this season, 59, 46, 40, 30. They've got the bye in round 12. It's a great draw. So they go Dolphins and Warriors, and then when he bottoms out around the 500K mark, they go Tigers and Titans. And then he plays round 13 after a bye, so I just think it's a watch on the Knights and on Marju without Ponga. I see what happens, but not yet. Question from David. If you ran for mayor, Tim, you'd get my vote. Appreciate that, mate. Anyway, it's a good question here. What's with the love for Levi to Brayley? I get it allows for your two other trades, but I feel like it's being talked about too much as a good trade in such a dead position. Sounds like Guru was considering boosting for it and not because he needed to free up cash. Sounds like people are overly concerned with his break-even, but how much is he really going to drop? He's not priced at too much more than a 30 average. That's my rant. So, Brayley. I like Brayley, as I said, with my trades. Let's talk about my trades. I'm keen on Brooks to Cleary, Ponga to Walsh. Very happy with both of those. But I'm about 3 or 4K short. So, to facilitate that, I need to go Levi to Brayley. I agree that Levi, he probably doesn't drop that much, but in game, look, he scores in games that he hasn't scored tries. He scored 4 tries in 7 games, which is enormous for Danny Levi. 30, 18, and 29. He's had 3 games where he has scored tries for scores of 42, 39, 45. The data has been there for a long time, the history. He's a 30-point averaging player, because the tries are not going to keep up for Danny Levi. So he shouldn't leak too much cash, but he could easily be sub 300K very soon. And I'll tell you the other thing. I'm very happy to get rid of him. If anything happens to Reece Robson, I don't want to have to play Danny Levi in my team for 20, 25 points. Let's say if Robson has a HIA and misses 1 week, like fails a HIA, I should say. Come Origin time, if I want to carry Reece Robson, I don't want to be playing Danny Levi through that period if Robson doesn't back up or whatever it might be. So on to Brayley. Look, I spoke in depth about him on Beers and Break Evans, about his numbers, and scored quite well without Caelan Ponga in the past. I think he ups his attack. But Brayley, I know we're going back a few years prior to injuries, but he's still not old. Like, he's still a leader of this club. 2022, he averaged 58. 2021, he averaged 59. That was in 22 games. If he can get up, he's currently priced on, what, a 33-point average. I don't see why he can't become a 50-plus averaging player. Like, he's played 80 minutes last week for a base of 48, 40 base the week before for 70 minutes. I understand the Ponga injury last week, Crossland coming on in a different position, potentially helped him play bigger minutes, so he might not be 80 every week. But I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure last week I saw Phoenix Crossland come on early, before the Ponga injury, before Ponga went off, and was just playing like a roving sort of lock roll through the middle. So I'm not so convinced that Brayley won't be an 80-minute man, but I just think, like, if he does play 70 to 80 minutes, and look, if he goes back to 60, so be it. If he plays his 80, base as well, Jags, the odd attacking stat, I think he can be 500K, and I think so he can make that 150, 160, 170K. Look, even if he doesn't average that much, maybe it's to 450. That's still 110K increase. For a bloke who I, on decent minutes, is a reliable backup to Robson if I need to play my second hooker. So, I see benefit in it. I get your concern that it's a dead position and it won't achieve a lot, but I can see Danny Levi dropping 50K. I can see Jaden Brayley making 1 to 150K. So, you know, you're looking at anywhere from a 100 to 200K swing there, potentially even more, maybe optimistic. And I get a reliable backup hooker and allows me to do my other trades. So there you go. Just on Nathan Cleary, I thought there'd be a very early question asking it, but I would not, for life of me, be moving Sean Johnson to him this week. If I'm a Sean Johnson owner against the Titans, I think he could have a field day in this one. So I'd be holding SJ for sure for one more week. You can reassess what happens there and see how clear he returns, and then just make the move next week or week after, whenever it might be. And on Cleary, my one concern is, I'm happy to do it because I'm moving Luke Brooks to him, but is there any confirmation that he kicks goals? And I don't mean to cause any panic to any of the people listening out there, because there's no suggestion to say that he's not goal kicking, but Dylan Edwards has been hitting him nicely, and Cleary's returning from a hamstring injury, so Cleary doesn't kick goals. You know, that could be taking 10 plus off his average score. If the Panthers had a tougher run, I'd probably wait on Cleary with returning from a hamstring. Minor concerns. I'm not going to say it's a big concern, but around the goal kicking, I'd probably wait. However, he's probably goal kicking, and it's a soft run, isn't it? Cowboys, Bunnies, Dogs. Because of those games, I'm happy to get him in, but I don't think there's any harm at all. Like break even 79, I don't think there's any harm in waiting a week on Cleary if need be. Next question from Sam. Sam, thoughts on who to trade out between Talangi, Arthurs and Schiller to trade out with Ponga? Bring in Cleary and Walsh. Schiller's break even. I would go 42. Oh, if you can get rid of Talangi, dropped out of the squad, he's probably the one. It actually wouldn't surprise me if our Papa Wade came in for James Schiller this week. However, you know, Jack Bostock's a great example of why, if you can give these outside backs one more week, it can be worth it. If he can score a couple of tries this week, hold his spot and score well, you know, maybe there could be another cash generation in there. He's not going to lose much cash this week, if at all, with a 42 break even. So I think it's got to be Talangi.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Question from Jakey. Hey, mate, two questions. Two. Come on, mate. Any reasons why you aren't captaining Nico Hines? Yeah, because he's playing the might of the Canberra Raiders in the Capital. What a road trip that is for him. The Raiders have been good this year. They were poor in Brisbane, but they'd been up for a lot of weeks in a row. And we've seen, I think the Warriors are a prime example last week. Every team has a down week. I'm not saying that the Raiders are a top four side, don't get me wrong, but they've shown enough and they have a really, really good forward pack that there's no reason why they can't put up a fight against the Sharkies this week. And while I'm a very happy Nico Hines owner, I've had him since round one, the reality is before last week, he was averaging, what, 65, 70 points or something. He went nuts last week against the Cowboys, who were pathetic, at Shark Park. So, yeah, I'm just such a big believer in Tom Trbojevic. I think he's just ticking along for an 80-point average. Could explode at any minute. I'm wary of a Parramatta Eels bounce back at Brookie Oval Friday night, but I just like Tommy Trbojevic. It's no knock on Nico, but yeah, I'm happy with Tommy Turbo. Also, I don't want to sit down and ride Nico against the Raids. All right, let's do a bit of a quick fire action and get through a few of these. Troy Anderson, low on cash and have three dogs in the front row forward position. Want Cleary. Would you do Brooks to Cleary, Schiller to Sasangi and Smithies to Finu? About the only way to get Cleary and fix front row. I don't love it. Firstly, on Sasangi, I think Elliot Whitehead will be back. Obviously not this week, hasn't been named in this squad. The Raiders play next week, and then they have the bye in round 10. So I'm hearing he's a chance to be back next week against Manly. But there's every chance also that with that bye, they just wait and bring him back round 11 against the Dogs. My concern with Sasangi is that whether Whitehead's back next week or the week after, you know, Whitehead will play on the right edge when he returns. I think I want to partner him with KO Weeks to help him defensively. Now, I haven't seen enough of Sasangi to know how good a defender he is, but I bet my bottom dollar that Whitehead's a more reliable defender. That's not a knock on Sasangi. That is that Whitehead is a very experienced mobile back rower, and he's just one of the better edge defenders in the game. So just Sasangi make some money this week and next week, and then you can flip him from there if you want. That'd be okay. But then if Whitehead comes back next week, he could come back and start. So I don't mind the Sasangi play, but there is some risk involved in it. Morgan Smithies, like, if you're a head-to-head player, I don't mind the Smithies trade. But if you're an overall player, he's ticking along nicely there. He scored 45 in 47 minutes with 45 in base last week. The 2 weeks, he got an early shower, I think, because the Broncos were pumping us. The 2 weeks before, 68 in 90 minutes with 66 in base. Week before, 69 in 80 minutes with 65 in base. That's unreal scoring. Plays round 13, plays round 16. I think Morgan Smithies is a hold. Tyson Jones, what VC would you take this week? I mentioned that Tommy's going to be my skipper. I'm on Dallin Watene's Lesniak as a VC for my side. If I own Sean Johnson, he'd be my VC. I think he's a terrific option. I think Ryan Pappenhausen against the Bunnies, awesome option. So anyone that's sort of running, looking at maybe Nicho Hynes as captain, where I have no knock on that, I think Pappenhausen's a really good vice captaincy option. I'd be looking ideally, like if you're captaining Nicho, I'd be trying to get one of the fullbacks in there. Because if you're captaining Nicho, it means you can't do SJ, if that's your half combo. I wouldn't go near Cleary just with potentially not goal kicking, injury concern, not injury concern, but returning from injury. I like the fullbacks there. But for me, Dallin Watene is Lesniak, a VC. One from Stephen Long. Who's the better buy, Tarpany or Adam Fanua Blake? Is it worth saving a trade and playing Liam Henry versus poor Cowboys defence? I think Fanua Blake is the man. He's playing great football. What is he? Averaging 676K, so he's at a pretty good price after peaking at 754K earlier. Plays big minutes each week. Tarpany just gets managed a bit more by Ricky Stewart. So what's he averaging? 57 minutes per game. That's pretty good. That's up on recent years for sure. Potentially impacted by injuries in games. But yeah, playing some good game time. I do think if injuries don't occur, that he mid-50s is more to his minutes. Basing 52, next to no attacking stats. He doesn't jag as many as AFB, but he does have them in him. They have a bye in 2 weeks, the Raiders. So I think AFB is the man. One from Nicholas Beliris, currently ranked 1,200th, with SJ and Hughes as my halves. Both seem to have good draws to come. Do I need to rush in Hynes and Cleary in the coming weeks, or is the antipod still a viable play? For this week, I'd be tempted to hold. Hughes has a great matchup with the Bunnies as well. God knows what they're going to throw up coming off the bye, but his break-even's 112. Oh, it's tough. Bunnies into Titans. They're two awesome matchups. What are the Warriors? There's awesome too the next couple of weeks. Obviously Titans this week into the Knights. Okay, so that's a bit more up and down. I'd definitely be holding SJ. Hughes, I'd be really tempted to hold him for one more week. Potentially two. One from Danny Heath. Hey, Skipper. I like that. I know we've had this song and dance all week. I don't have Turbo and Pappy is my backup fullback. Is Walsh still the man you'd recommend I go for to replace Ponga? I love Walsh as a trade-in. Look, I've spoken about it all week, so I'm not going to go into too much depth, but I just think people are potentially overthinking it a little bit. They're worried about his floor. Mate, who cares about his floor? Look how much attack he's got in Reece Walsh. Good matches coming up against the Tigers, Roosters, but that's a Suncorp. Eels, Manly, also at Suncorp, Titans at Suncorp. He's just a gun, and he's, put all that aside, he's $616,000 because of his one-point game in 4 minutes against the Panthers when he got concussed. So, again, I mentioned Cleary. What if he doesn't goal kick? What if Adam Reynolds, history of hamstring injuries, coming back? What if Reece Walsh keeps goal kicking? Like, I think Reece Walsh is the man, and, you know, Tom Trbojevic also a great option, but you look at the price difference. It's over 200K. I'm getting Reece Walsh, and I've got him. I've got to Turbo, but I'd be going Walsh for the two. One from Tom. I'm 50K ranked currently and leading a few of my leagues still. Should I start prioritising head-to-head as opposed to overall, or should I keep at the overall rank grind? Oh, mate, different for everyone. Depends what your aim is. Obviously, a slower start to the year. I will say that, and I say this time and time again, you could have two big weeks and you could be sitting in 5K overall and everything flips on its head. And I'd say easier said than done, but, mate, it doesn't take much. Even if you jag a bit of luck with, you know, not wished upon anyone, but injuries, HIAs, failed HIAs elsewhere, suspensions, whatever it is, early in games, and you don't own a popular player, things can change so, so quickly. Look, if you can go from 50K to first, and that's the overall, that's the goal, then you're probably pushing it a little bit, and maybe you look to head-to-head. But if you're someone who's out there and you're going, overall's a focus, and I still want to finish, you know, top 1,000 or top 5,000, whatever your personal goal might be, then stick with it because still super achievable. Like, yeah, you're a long way out, but top 100, still achievable, long way to go. Can you win it from there? Probably ambitious, but strange things have happened. Here's a good one from Dylan. The podcast is finished. You're walking to your local. The sun is shining. The ladies can't keep their eyes off you. Yep, I'm sure that'll happen. One of the boys hands you your first beer. You take a sip. It's amazing. The question, first throw of the day, are you a heads guy or prefer chasing the tail? Mate, I'm a Matty head guy every day of the week. He's an Anzac Day specialist, so why would you look past him? Follow-up question, do you have a strategy with it or do you just do what you feel is right in the moment? I am heads all day, every day. Feel very comfortable with it. Go in the heads. And my advice for the day, for anyone listening that's going to play two up, go to an ATM before it, before the establishment. Go to your bank and get out like 20s or 10s or 5s or whatever it might be, because I've been stung with it in the past, and you're keen for a little flip and you've burnt through your 20 bucks or your 30 bucks, whatever your budget is, not your budget, but whatever's in your wallet. Then you go to the ATM and it just feeds your pineapples, and then you're sitting there with two or three $50 notes in your wallet. And you go, shit, I don't want to put 50 bucks on heads and tails and in a 50-50 chance and lose twice in a row, and then your budget's done for the day. So my words of wisdom for the day is, someone who's been burnt before, get your ATM and try and get out. I don't think you can do 10s, but even 20s. Break it up, people. Smart punting that. And he's the last bit from Dylan. If you'd prefer to talk Supercoach, is Powaso Farmacilli, brackets, the bum occupying a warm bench spot in my front row forward worth boosting to Finu? Nah, I wouldn't boost him. I think I'm all for, I know it's a dead spot front row, but just to strengthen that front row in a really great buy like Finu this week, I think is a great option to plug that front row forward spot with dual positioning. I don't mind the if you got the cash to do it, going Farmacilli to Finu. It'll really strengthen the front row forward end to help the back row spot as well. If you're Josh Curran owner, you can potentially do a bit of a switcheroo there. I wouldn't boost for it though. I don't think you want to be using a boost on front row forward. Guys, plenty more questions there, but things to do, people to see, two up to win. So that'll do us for the week. Have a wonderful Anzac Day, remembering all the diggers out there from generations past. Gamble responsibly, of course, if you're out there doing that. Good luck to your Supercoach teams and have a great weekend.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.